Today's Daily DVR is, of course, brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com, baby. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR. Today, the 12 days of sales continues, and today's day is Constantino, the designer, rarely on sale. Here's your chance to gift your favorite designer brand at a great deal. That's 30% off Constantino. Just go to cufflinks.com/DVR. Use the code BESTGIFTS. Choose what Constantino you want to gift, or maybe you want to gift yourself. And order it up, baby. That's cufflinks.com/DVR. And also remember, all month long, 30% off Star Wars, baby. 30% off Star Wars using code SWGIFTS. And you can always use DVR20 to get 20% off your order, no minimum. Cufflinks.com. Look good, geek out, baby. Now on to the show. Today is Wednesday, December 5th, 2018, and this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Yesterday, we had a great Patreon show. Go over to patreon.com/DVR, and you can hear Heath Solo and I doing kind of a TV roundup film list. Part 2 will be dropped on Thursday on the Patreon. We're going to be doing a lot more of those. Solo is making his return to podcasting. He'll be joining me a lot more on the show. We're both really excited about it. It's going to be awesome. I was listening back to it, and like half the time it's just me laughing. That dude just puts a smile on my face, and I'm sure he does yours too, man. Heath Solo! Love you, baby. Today we got a great show. I got tons of news. I don't know if I really have an end segment. I got an idea for one, but let's see how the show takes form today. But there's a ton of news out there. There was just like a big news dump, I think, that the Thanksgiving and then the week after Thanksgiving, like there's just kind of like a lull, and then things kind of rev up for 2 weeks because they're going to shut down for 2 weeks when it's Christmas and New Year's and all those holidays and all that. So it'll be an interesting time, but we're always going to have something to talk about here. I've been playing around with my Xbox. It's been fun. Xbox One, I got it on Monday, and I got to say, you know, I got a PS4 because I was really into video games, and I was just reading that it had superior graphics, processing, and that also, importantly, companies were, I guess, having an easier time developing for the PS4, and that makes it a place where you know you're going to get better resolution, there's going to be tweaks, you know, and that turned out to be true. I mean, I've had that thing for I don't know how many years, 7, 8 years, I don't know when in the heck it came out, but I've loved it. It's for playing games, it's been great. But now that my son is getting older, the PS4 is not an entertainment hub. The interface is weird, it's hard to get to things. I find there's not a lot of updates sometimes. The apps are look a little worse than I've been seeing on the Xbox One. I don't know. The Xbox One is just, you kind of turn it on and it feels like it's saying, hi, come on in. And, you know, that's what it's built for. And as far as the games go, I've always been a little bit more of a fan of the Xbox Nintendo Rounder type design. If you're a video game person, you know what I'm talking about. Nintendo and Xbox, Nintendo is kind of its own thing, but the difference to me between PS4 and Xbox was kind of that PS4 was a lot tighter and crisper, right? But it's kind of like the difference between vinyl and a CD, or VHS and a DVD in a way. And Xbox is more like the older kind. You know, it's a little, and it just seems rounder, maybe a little blurrier, but just kind of friendlier, hazier, brighter. I don't know if I'm using the right video game-ish technology to describe it. But that is the way I feel when I turn on an Xbox and its design, right? It's that it's kind of like a whole design. And for some strange reason, the PS4 is not like that. It's like kind of, it's interesting the way the Nintendo is such a unique vision. And you are, everything is in that world. Every game somehow feels, even if you're playing some totally weird, you know, different game, playing Doom on the Switch, you somehow feel like that game was made for Nintendo, even though you know it's not. Whereas on the PS4, it felt like a utilitarian box that played the game. And the game was the game. The PS4 had nothing to do with it. And I think people like that. And that's what I was looking for. But now, with the kid, it's kind of cool. He likes the Xbox One. He turns it on. I can create his own account. You know, he can't order anything, do all that kind of stuff. And kind of, you know, just tool around. And he feels like he's on the computer. He's in, like I say, a walled garden. And this walled garden makes you feel like exactly how you feel when you think about that in your mind. A walled garden, like comfortable, nice, safe, right? You're being led down different paths, either to purchase or go here or find this information. So just a little update on my Xbox One experience. I'm enjoying it. I tried to do the TV pass-through. Xbox One supposedly has this option. Well, it doesn't supposedly, it does, where you can watch live TV through the box. You basically take the HDMI out of your cable box, put it into the Xbox One, it passes through, then another HDMI goes from the Xbox One into your television. You then access an app, and it brings up the live TV, and it's supposed to also get the metadata and as well as guide information that's being pumped in as well. So I haven't been able to get it to work because I got the Xbox One, but I don't have the dumb Kinect. And you need the Kinect because that's the way it reads your remote control. So it's like, when the Xbox One was being launched, if you all remember, there was a huge controversy that the PS4, that it was going to be always on. I'm sorry, it's not PS4, that's something different, but it was going to be always on, always connected to the internet, right? And you were going to be able to use it as a complete entertainment hub. It was kind of saying, like, instead of launching Netflix on your, you know, picking the app of Netflix or going to your TV or going to HBO or whatever, you were basically just going to turn the Xbox on and Netflix was going to be like another channel, you know, like it was going to somehow integrate all of your apps and everything into one entertainment viewing experience. And as a result, it was always going to be connected to the internet and your television. And this just never panned out. People got really pissed off about the always connected thing because of privacy reasons, and people who didn't play multiplayer games like myself, I was like, I don't care about that. And people who lived in remote areas and other reasons. And as far as the TV thing, there was a big backlash saying you're forgetting about gamers. This should be a gaming system first. And thus, I think, is why the PS4 dominated the Xbox One. Now, I think it may have changed with this new Xbox One X or Pro, or I don't know, in the PS4 Pro. I'm not even up to that level yet. Let me get there. But it's sad that they abandoned that because I actually like that idea. And I think that somewhere someone's going to get that, you know, a box that brings all the boxes together. And I think that that's interesting. And you see, create like a huge walled garden that puts all the other gardens inside of it, you know? And you see Disney trying to do something like that with their service with the Star Wars portal, this portal, right? They'll have like a sale portal too. Don't forget about those portals. There's going to be other portals, right? The coming soon, the trailers portal, right? The get involved, the social media portal, whatever. And then you're just basically in that world. Now, the only thing missing from that, okay, when you think about it, with the Xbox or the PS4 or the Switch is the game aspect. Something interesting over the weekend, I am walking through my kitchen and I look down and I see that my son is playing a Telltale story mode, Minecraft story mode, on his iPad through Netflix. Now, I had talked about this on a show in September, but I had never really followed up. I think my son had watched one interactive show where you can choose what happens next, and you know. And we all know now that Telltale is not around anymore, though they are continuing the Walking Dead game with the studio owned by Kirkman. Thank you, Gareth, for that info. But I was fascinated by this. And this is just kind of a long about way of discussing this whole topic, which is when you add a game like that to Netflix and you say Amazon has been talking about that for years, right? I know that they want to stream games and supposedly they're working on something like that. And they've been talking about launching it through Prime. So you would just be able to choose a game like you chose a TV show, a movie, and whatever, pick up the remote or change the remote and play with it. I mean, if you look at the design of some of these remotes, like look at the Switch remote or what, I mean, you can, trust me, you can make a remote control that you control a TV with into a gaming remote. It's not that hard. Depending on what kind of game it is, of course. But you could add a stick to it. You know, you're just talking about adding a stick or sticks to it. I just found this really fascinating. It's like such a convergence. It's just an exciting time to be talking about all of this and bringing it all to you. That's why I really do enjoy doing this show. And it was sad when I saw that, I kind of went down a rabbit hole and looked into when I saw that my son was playing. I was like, oh, this is awesome, right? He was like, yeah, this is so cool. I love it. I played it like 20 times. And Telltale is out of business. But then I looked into it and there's other companies that are coming up now. And there's companies that worked with Telltale. There's always people in the middle. There's companies that worked with Telltale to integrate their video game into the Netflix system, right? Think about that. They don't only have to think about how to present it, but they have to think about when the button is pressed, how the actual app and how Netflix back system actually works with that. Because I've talked about this before. I used to do this. One time I made like a little rudimentary video game with DVD making software, DVD Studio Pro on Final Cut Pro. Just by think about it. You're just choosing things, right? It's like, it's point and click. And those are, there are a lot of point and click games, but then, you know, you switch it up and you think about it. If Amazon sold through Prime, if Amazon Prime offered every Prime per, and you know they'll do something like this, $9.99 for a cheap controller that they sent to you, and then you could start playing games with your Prime subscription, how awesome would that be? That would be pretty awesome. And that's what's coming. And I think that that Disney is thinking about this and everything. That's why Xbox, I think, was ahead of they maybe were a little too far ahead, honestly, because they did create something with the Xbox One, but they abandoned a lot of these initiatives. And unfortunately, when you're ahead of the game, it's hard to reconstitute it within that company because they're like, we tried that already. But then all of a sudden, somebody else does it. And you're like, why did I not think of this? So it's interesting. The Xbox One really made me think of what really is it. It's a huge, big app, right? It's a box, but it's a big app that plays things. Whether it's, you know, I can purchase things, I can play a game, I can watch a movie, I can go on the internet. For some reason, and that's the weird thing about Microsoft too, it pushes you to, it wants data and wants to you for you to use things. So there was some game where I could like use Bing and earn Microsoft points, which I remember doing for the 360 like 10 years ago. But instead of doing it like it being a game or something on the Xbox One, it launched an internet browser. So I'm on the Xbox One on my TV, like using the controller to move around a cursor on a huge browser. It was weird, but it just goes to show you it's a weird experience. So I love all this stuff. All right, hopefully that digression was interesting to y'all. Let's talk a little bit news. Let's see what's happening in the world. This just broke here. Vulture has a... Oh, wow. This is breaking news. An exclusive American Gods Season 2 is going to premiere in March. Why? No one knows. But guess what? It is. And that boring dude is still the star of it. This show has like lost its showrunners. They slagged it. Then it got new ones. They slagged it. I think Gaiman tried to take it over. Gillian Anderson left. They recast people. But Ian McShane is still on it, and I guess, I don't know, our friends at Shad on TV have covered this. I actually kept on listening to their podcast after the show. I stopped watching the show because the show, to me, and come at me if you disagree with me, but it just didn't work. It really didn't work. They're trying for something. Maybe Gaiman's just hard to, I don't know, there's a certain level of disbelief that I just can't have with that dude. I don't know. He's just never been one of my people, you know, but they forged ahead. Stars really is convinced that this is going to be something, and who knows, maybe it'll be the next Game of Thrones. All right. Anne Hathaway starring in the Sesame Street movie. So now that HBO has Sesame Street and they're going to resurrect it, they've been doing that for a while. I actually tweeted at Mo Ryan. She had tweeted about, hey, does everyone remember that Sesame Street has been on HBO for like 3 years now or whatever? I said, you know, hey, thanks for reminding. What do you think? How do you think that's gone? What's been the effect of it? And she was like, you know what? I don't know. I hope someone writes an article about it. I hope so too. Maybe this article here will lead someone to kind of research that. How has it affected HBO, or really how has it affected Sesame Street, that so much of that, like the new episodes are first on HBO, that's still on PBS? I don't know if it has. I really don't, you know? My son was a big fan of Sesame Street, but he kind of trailed off. You know, he's like me. He likes the sci-fi stuff, though I did love Sesame Street. But I think that this sounds like a lot of fun. A Sesame Street movie, Anne Hathaway is perfect for this. This is just all the stuff that she should do. I actually like Anne Hathaway. I think that she is very good in some stuff. Some stuff, I don't think so. But other stuff, she's fantastic. She's kind of hit or miss for me. But she is a performer. That's what I like about her. She is a performer. She can do it all. She sings, she dances, she acts, she's funny. You know, I think she's beautiful. She can be glamorous. So I think that I like Anne Hathaway. That's it. The official Daily DVR opinion on Anne Hathaway is thumbs up on Anne Hathaway. Jonathan Krizzle, Portlandia co-creator, and he's done a bunch of other stuff, is set to direct. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. I like it. That's something that Lachlan's going to want to see. Sesame Street. We need more Sesame Street in the world. You know what else we need in the world? We're going to get it. The Good Place, renewed for season 4. That's awesome. That is, in today's day and age, it would be stupefying if it wasn't renewed. I'm surprised that NBC hasn't relaunched Seesaw or whatever that comedy thing that they had, streaming service that got canceled. And it took forever for what's her name? Rhea, the comedians, the two women. They had a show on it about their marriage and they lost the rights to one. There was an article all about that. I got to look into that. I'll remind you all of it. But that when Seesaw went out of business or they closed their doors and they kind of lost the rights to their show and they had put a lot of work into the season 2, I think, but they hadn't shot it or something. There was a story behind it, but they eventually got it. which makes sense because they just put all this stuff on. People want content. But anyway, Good Place, season 4. What I was going to say is I'm surprised they don't relaunch CISO or whatever, just with the Good Place. The Good Place streaming service. I might, if there was a Good Place streaming service, I might subscribe. I don't know, $2.99 a month? Maybe. Let's see. I'm all about it. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, this is fun. Issa Rae and Laura Dern go toe-to-toe over Cabbage Patch Dolls in HBO's The Dolls. This sounds awesome. A limited series from Issa. Is it Issa or is it Issa? I'm terrible pronunciating things. Issa Rae from Insecure, absolutely love her. And they are going to star in a dramatized look at the Cabbage Patch Kids riots of the early 80s. I love it. The aftermath of the Christmas Eve riots within two small Arkansas towns in 1983, in which violent customer outbursts erupted over Cabbage Patch Dolls. Wow. That sounds amazing. I can't. Oh, HBO, I love you. This is like a dream. Laura Dern, too. I love Laura Dern. Oh, man, I'm going to be watching this. All right, I got to admit, I kind of have a little crush on both of these ladies. We're running into, like, my tall lady crushes here on Daily DVR today. It's all right. My wife knows. G.I. Joe spinoff Snake Eyes gets a director. Now, G.I. Joe is close to my heart, people. And it's because I read the G.I. Joe comic books. And I'm a huge fan of a man named Larry Hama, who wrote those comic books. The guy is awesome. He wrote a lot of stuff from my childhood. And he appears in a lot of The Toys That Made Us. And the guy is just fantastic. He was a comic book writer, artist, actor, musician, and he worked for Marvel for a really long time. And he was also served in the Vietnam War. And he created these characters, and he created the story of Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, and them being Vietnam vets. And Snake Eyes being injured and coming back and joining Storm Shadow's ninja clan, where they, of course, came in contact with the Hard Master and the Soft Master and Zartan, the Silent Master, that's Snake Eyes himself. I love this, but that's not what this is going to be. The guy who directed R.I.P.D. with Ryan Reynolds and Red and Insurgent is in early talks to direct. Oh, man. Evan Spilotopoulos, who wrote the wonderful The Huntsman Winter's War, as well as the live-action Beauty and the Beast, is penning the script. I don't think that Hama has anything to do with it. I mean, whatever. This is a sad case where, to me, you have a lot of the Marvel superhero writers getting their due praise, right? And finally, people kind of paying attention. And this is one dude, Larry Hama, that I think is just absolutely, when I look back and I realize all the stuff that he wrote and was involved in, he was fantastic. And he really formed a lot of my opinions. And Vietnam, too. Those stories were real. And I know when you look back and you think about the G.I. Joe comic book, it really gets slagged off and people are like, oh, that was stupid. But it wasn't. It was a great comic book. And it had some deep stuff in there. And I really enjoyed it. But they're never going to make that movie. So they are continuing to make this Snake Eyes movie, but it'll probably be, you know, like he jumps off of a train and does a backflip onto an airplane, and then he kicks a helicopter blade and it breaks, and then he does another flip, grabs onto a hang glider, and then he lands on top of a big apartment building and there's a pool. And then he just like hangs out in the pool and it's like Deadpool style. And then he laughs or something. I don't know. So, but they are making the G.I. Joe thing. That was just an opportunity to shout out good people. Kevin Hart is set to host the Oscars. That's all right with me. I don't care. Who cares about these hosts? They're on for 5 minutes. They do an opening monologue. It's about what they decide to do with the whole show. But he's cool. He's funny. He's a little, I think he was a little overexposed for a while, Kevin Hart. Maybe he took a back seat a little while, but I don't know. You know, he's a funny little dude. He just goes around yelling like this all the time. He's got his thing. It'll be funny. He'll make fun of people too. I've seen him do that. He's good at that, actually. I hope he comes out hard because it's always funny when they make fun of the people in the audience and stuff. This was a funny thing, actually, is that Tom Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie recorded and launched a new public service announcement taking a stand against motion smoothing on TV. Now, Rian Johnson, Duncan Jones, so many directors on Twitter have this like motion smoothing ninja and police like people. For a while, I think it was Rian Johnson, had people sending videos of them going into their parents' TV and taking off the motion smoothing. And I love this. You know, I'm all about it. I don't use – and as soon as I get a new TV and my TV, I just strip every feature off of it. If it says – anything that says auto, take it off. Set it yourself. Have different settings, gaming, movie, you know, whatever, or create your own. Sometimes what I create is light and dark. That was as a result of Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones is shot so dark. If you don't have the auto settings on, it's not going to kind of lighten up a little thing. And then it just, when it does it, it ruins it. This is like panning and scanning. This is like setting your TV to pan and scan everything. Just watch it as the person intended, you know? We can't watch everything in a movie theater projected up there. Not that I think everyone television intends for you to see it like that, as well as film directors know most films are going to be seen on a television. But at least don't cut the thing up. You know what I mean? Like, you have to change the form of viewing, but at least show us what was intended, because people work really hard to get something in the corner of a frame. And sometimes it has to do with plot as well. And these motion de-jitter, all this stuff that you can put on your HDTV is garbage. And take it off. Go to your TV right now. Go to your settings and everything that says auto, whatever, smooth, what, take it off. Go no, or put it, or set it to zero. Then put in a movie that you appreciate for how it looks, and just sit there and set your TV, you know? And then it's really going to be your eye and your TV. One of the things that I know, having been a video professional for a little while, is it's absolutely impossible for something is not, even if it's the same TV from the same manufacturer with the same settings, it could look different. So each one is individual. That's what I would always tell people. You know, you'll go into a Best Buy or whatever, if people go into anything, you'll look online and there'll be some video. Use this chart, you know, a YouTube video, and set your TV. But it's going to look, that's a baseline, right? But their baseline is a different baseline. So you do have to kind of do it for your preference. And everyone's eye is different. And it's surprising. Some people need a TV to be really bright. And yes, it's going to mess up the picture, whatever you think, but they can't see it. You know, people's eyes are different. But this motion blurring is different. It looks terrible, you know, and it ruins lighting, and it ruins cinematography. But what are you going to do? That was a fun one. Tom Cruise, what a guy. What are you going to say about Tom Cruise? So much to say. I love Tom Cruise. All right. Hail Xenu. Hulu Funimation plan multi-year anime deal. Hulu's jumping in. Funimation, a multi-year partnership for anime programming. I like it. I like that. Attack on Titan. Who's an Attack on Titan fan? I know Iantrone is. Attack on Titan's crazy, man. What is it like? 80-foot tall, nude, skinless giants attacking cities? Amazing. But anyway, we've seen Netflix doing it, Amazon, Hulu. There's a rush, it seems, for these animation studios. And I like this because animation, in particular CGI, these are jobs that where people are overworked and underpaid. And perhaps these deals, instead of continuing that, will allow studios, smaller ones as well, to take time and properly pay people, compensate them, and get a better product in the end. All right, we got a little bit of news here. Toby Kebbell. I like this dude. If you remember this guy. He's been in a lot of different stuff. What was he was on? Oh, man. You know what? I wanted to say Gosford Park, but that's the movie. Downton Abbey. Downton Abbey, remember him? He's going to be cast in the main role of M. Night Shyamalan's thriller series at Apple. I like it. Lauren Ambrose is his wife. I love Lauren Ambrose, 6 feet under. So that's pretty cool. I'm down with M. Night. I always have been. I'm a fan. He's Philly style. I mean, look, I'm New York. He's Philly. That's okay, though. We can come together. But, you know, I don't know. I ain't a huge fan of Philly. Star Trek Discovery. CBS All Access dropped a new TV spot for the second season of Star Trek Discovery, and it's coming in January, and I'll be watching it, and I'll be talking about it. I got to get that. I got to watch it because it's supposed to be better. And, you know, Spock is in it, and the guy who plays Spock, yeah, he's a dude, and he kind of looks like an emo guy from the 90s. I don't know what's going on with emo Spock with the beard and all that, but I hope Star Trek Discovery gets better, because I like it, and they put a lot of money into it. Now, this I love. When I used to work at a place called the People's Channel in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and Durham, we did a fake PSA of Between Two Ferns, and this girl, what was her name, Rachel, she was funny as hell. She was the Zach Galifianakis' sister, and now Galifianakis and Netflix are going to make a feature film out of Between Two Ferns, and I like this. This sounds a lot of fun. Sounds like a lot of fun. Scott Aukerman, who is a big comedian. And what did he have? He had a show. What was it called? Comedy a Go-Go, I think. Peter Dinklage, David Letterman, Keanu Reeves, Ed Helms, Bradley Cooper are going to be in it. This sounds like a lot of fun. I love Zach Galifianakis, but man, did he, you know, I mean, look, he's an actor, right? And he got overexposed too, and he was in a lot of not great stuff and all those hangover movies. And I kind of got a little tired of, you know, his predictability. Though I did like the movie where he played his alter ego, the Southern guy, and he runs for office in his town or something. That was actually kind of funny. But this is a return to form. I like when he does this weird obtuse stuff, because if you know Galifianakis' earlier work, he was really like a cringe comedian, and he would get on stage and do things to really incite the audience. It was very experimental and interesting, and Between Two Ferns is that, just being really weird, and I like that. That's my kind of humor. Now, this was an article that appeared on Dark Horizons. Mahershala Ali had to fight for True Detective. I could have played that second lead, that supporting career, but in my mind, I was like, I've done this my entire career. I'm 43. If it doesn't happen now, it may not happen. He really had to kind of fight for the role, and he had to get Nick Palazzo, P- Pizzolatto, excuse me, to change the leading role because it was originally written as a white dude, and he did it. Now, I find that to be incredibly shocking because if Mahershala Ali comes to you and says, I want you, okay, yes, sir, excuse me, what do you want? Anything. This guy is one of our great actors at this point in America. And that's kind of surprising to me, but he says he was originally offered a supporting role. So that's the way you do it. That could have also more to do with just things get in motion, you know. But they did change it, and they made it, so that's good to me. I like it. That's just, they're just kind of maybe getting the word out there on that coming out. Because like Heath Solo mentioned that yesterday, I'm really excited. I think that's going to be kick-ass. That dude is a great actor, and it looks like a return to the first season, having to do with time and memory and, you know, our own place in the world. Really like that stuff. So the Captain Marvel trailer dropped. Friday is, we're going to talk a little, I think, some Marvel stuff. Cufflinks has got a Marvel on their 12 days of sales. Friday is Marvel. And Captain Marvel trailer dropped. Actually, we were going to get the Avengers 4 trailer. That's now not going to happen until Friday. Maybe that'll drop by the time and I can kind of go over it on the show. That it would be fun. Maybe I'll bring someone on to do that. We'll see what happens. But I love this trailer. This looked like a lot of fun. I watched it with my wife during Monday Night Football, and she liked it too. I thought, I have to say, Brie Larson, still going to have to sell me a little bit. I like her as an actress. I just don't know. When I found out that she got this role, I was like, that's interesting. I don't know. I just see her kind of differently, more real, you know? I have a hard time. She is a great actress, but she's very naturalistic. So I guess I had a hard time seeing her in something so audacious. But she kind of pulls it off. She's good. I liked her. At the end, there's a line she has, and it kind of sounds like she's like, I'm Captain Marvel. Like, it just wasn't very, I don't know, it was weird editing or something. Maybe I just heard it weird on my TV. But the special effects look cool. The story was cool. It kind of reminded me a little bit. I'm starting to remember. I think I read some of this comic. I'm not sure. But overall, looks like a lot of fun. Looks like a lot of fun. And the outfits and everything, very cool. Very cool. When she's like all glowing, that was very cool. So I'm down. I think this looks like a lot of fun. And I know people were, I think that overall, the response was overwhelmingly positive. And that's kind of cool. I like it. Hulu is developing two TV series adaptations of John Grisham novels. Now, last week I talked about Netflix getting into the John Grisham docuseries business. So Hulu is getting into the fictional universe, The Rainmaker and Rogue Lawyer. And the series are being designed to work as both standalones or to be viewed simultaneously, with the storylines of each project to intersect at points, including sharing characters. Viewers can choose to watch one or both series by bouncing back and forth between the two shows. Okay. That is too confusing, Hulu. People do not know how to do anything but press play, okay? I like it. I know I was talking about my son playing a video game on Netflix, but that's a video game. See, this is where I think when things blur lines, you've got to present, right? If you say a choose-your-own-adventure cartoon, then a kid see the choose-your-own-adventure is first, not the cartoon in which you can. You see what I'm trying to say? I like this idea, but I don't understand. So I'm going to watch one episode, then I'm going to go over to the other series and watch that. Should I go back and forth? Is it going to prompt me? I don't know if I think they might be floating this, right? Let's see how it is when they actually shoot, how you can actually do this, because it sounds interesting to me. You know, I like that they're trying to do something different, but my first reaction is this sounds pretty confusing. Designed to work as both stand, so can choose to watch one. I don't know. Let's see what happens. But what is Grisham? Grisham's, I mean, come on. You think this is like the guy who loves all this crime stuff and the lawyer stuff, you know? This is the mix of it. Like I was talking with Heath Solo and I spoke yesterday. I am a fan of true crime because I am interested in the law and the intricacies of the law and things of that nature and how things are done, right? I like plans. Like I like heist movies. I'm not interested in true crime podcast that goes at length playing recordings of people at crime scenes or like that investigates and really did she do that? Or I'm not as interested in that. I kind of like it more. That's why I like The Staircase, because it's a lot of it was in the courtroom. But let's see, this sounds kind of cool. John Grisham TV universe. I think they might drop that aspect of go back and forth between, but let's see. Hulu's trying different stuff. Got to give them credit. Guess what? Not only do I have a podcast, but Ron Burgundy is going to have a podcast. Will Ferrell is reportedly reviving Anchorman character Ron Burgundy for a new podcast titled The Ron Burgundy Podcast for iHeartRadio Podcast Network. All right. Everybody's got a podcast, baby. Come on, Ron Burgundy. I'm Ron Burgundy. Ron Burgundy is fun. Anything with Will Ferrell is good to me. I was listening to the Conan O'Brien podcast, which he tried to sell. He was on Bill Simmons, and he was like, yeah, every podcast someone comes on and we talk about, were we really friends? Why aren't we friends? It's called Conan Needs a Friend. It's just another podcast where two famous people talk to each other. That's fine with me. I don't care. You don't need to have a concept. Maybe that's the joke, is that. But then at the end, it's like the producer's involved and asks, are you friends with him? And then he's like, I don't know. But I got to listen to more of them to see if the concept really, really gets fleshed out. But what are you going to do? Now, this was a little bit, I'm not going to say upset, but I was like, Rupert Wyatt departs Halo TV series. So Rupert Wyatt was going to be a director and executive producer of Showtime's Halo series, but he stepped out. Kyle Killen, famously from many canceled great one or two episode dramas on network TV, has finally learned his lesson and is going to Showtime. He's still the showrunner and executive producer, but they're pushing it back. And I think it's because there's a lot of money involved in it. Maybe they're having problems. I don't know. They're aiming to start filming in early 2019, but it's unclear now. And this is like the third time that there was supposed to be a Halo TV series, which I think would be really cool. Halo is a really cool story, but This may signal the end of this. We'll see. Let's see. That's about all the news I have for you today. Now, I did want to get into one more thing, but let's talk our little mid-break ad from Cufflinks.com, baby. All right, Cufflinks.com, baby. All right, mid-break. All right, mid-ad break. Cufflinks.com/DVR. Today is a special day. I got to tell you, I went over to Cufflinks.com. Today is the 12 days of sales. We're on the day for Constantino. Now, I didn't know much about Constantino before I found out that that's what was on sale today at Cufflinks.com. 30% off. Use code BESTGIFTS. Then I took a look, and my God, this stuff is gorgeous. The designs on this is amazing. Handmade from Greece, well known for its unique designs and unparalleled craftsmanship. Crafted from sterling service and 18 karat gold, but inspired by art, architecture, and mythology, Constantino jewelry transcends from an accessory to a true treasure. And that is the truth. This stuff is gorgeous. You've got to check it out. And let me tell you something, it's rarely on sale. When they say handmade, they mean handmade. I mean, I can't even describe. This looks like I'm thinking of like Assassin's Creed type stuff. Like this could be worn on like Game of Thrones. You know, this isn't like Game of Thrones stuff. This is like someone would think that you stepped out from it. It's gorgeous. And the intricate details on some of these cufflinks that I'm looking at and the tuxedo studs, that's amazing. The gold and bronze, sterling silver, amazing. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR, 30% off. The sales continue. Friday is Marvel. We're going to talk about it. Use code BESTGIFTS. And remember, you can always go to cufflinks.com/DVR and use code DVR20 to get 20% off your order, no minimum. Cufflinks.com, baby. Do it. Back to the show. Let's check out the Metacritic premiere calendar for December 5th, Wednesday. Not too much premiering. Deal or No Deal is back on CNBC. They made a big deal out of this. Everything that was NBC affiliated had something about Deal or No Deal coming back. I guess this is a big deal. Ha ha ha. But it's back. Not much else to say. Now, as far as streaming goes, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the second season, is coming to Amazon today, and it's not getting fantastic reviews, unfortunately. I never checked out the first season. Have you all checked it out? Any thoughts on it? I think that there was one person who had written in and said that they had checked this out and watched it before. I wanted to. Oh, wait, we talked about this. That's right. I think that Brett compared his wife to The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I remember now. Yeah. I do want to watch this, but the second season isn't getting as good reviews. I remember it won at, what, the Golden Globes or something, or the Emmys. And I don't know. I was like a little disappointed. Is this just fatigue from streaming? What do you think? Anyone who's seen the second season, tell me, is this wrong? People saying that it's not as good? Or is this just kind of the newness might not be there? Because from what I first heard, it was good, but then I heard from a kind of overwhelming, you know, when I was looking yesterday at some reviews, they didn't seem too great. So we'll see about that. I don't know. What else has got on Amazon? Amazon releasing a bunch of other strange things as they normally do. I love it. I love the strange things that pop up on Amazon. Like Fishtales 3. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Not much else, actually. Now, on Netflix, this was a TV series that ran initially on TNT, I believe, called The Last OG. Right? You know it. With Tracy Morgan, his kind of his return. And my wife and I wanted to watch this, and we recorded it, and then we never did. And then I saw it on my DVR and I said, this is going to be on Netflix in a month. So I deleted it. And guess what? It's on Netflix. And now I can check it out and you can check it out too. The Last OG. Tracy Morgan can be very funny, but sometimes it can be a little repetitive. So I'm not so sure about that, but I'll check it out. Now, before I move on to my final thing today, I did want to ask you this. Has anyone seen a show from Canada called Corner Gas? Has anyone seen it? I'm just interested in this show. It came on Netflix all the seasons. It came on Amazon all the seasons. And then I went on a little bit of a deep dive to find out that it's like one of the most popular Canadian sitcoms ever. It won all these awards. It ran for like 5 or 8 seasons. They did a movie. It's a little sitcom about somebody at a corner gas station in, I think he's in Manitoba. Interesting. I don't know. I'm just like, these weird shows that pop onto Amazon. Corner Gas. Anybody know about it? Tell me if you know about it. I'm going to try to watch an episode of Corner Gas before the next episode of Daily DVR, baby. All right. Now, this is just something I had at the end. Did a lot of news, but I just want to cover this at the end, which is that Metacritic, and I will include this in the show notes, Television Critics Top 10 List, basically Metacritic gets, get it? Metacritic. It gets together all the critics. And then it averages them, gives it a points. And then it says, what's the best show of 2018? So I'm going to go with the top There's like a tie at 9, and so I'll go to 11, okay? Number 11, coming in at 11, tied, is Homecoming and Glow. Homecoming I'm down with. Liked it a lot, okay? Very good. Glow, I liked the first season. Didn't see the second season. Wanna see it, but not sure. It's okay. I don't know if it's my thing. BoJack Horseman and Sharp Objects are tied for number 9. Haven't seen either of those. My wife and I have to watch Sharp Objects. That's kind of missing there in my list of things from this year. I did watch a couple of episodes of BoJack Horseman, and I just couldn't get into it. It was too weird. Now, I don't want to say weird. It's too many jokes for me. I tried. I talked about this before. I tried. I think Andy wanted me to watch that, and I tried, but I don't think I'm going back. I'm sorry. Number 8, Succession. I've got to binge this. I talked about it with He's Solo yesterday. I watched the first 4 episodes. I really liked it, but my wife fell off, and then I didn't go back to it. I want to go back to it. Number 7, Better Call Saul. To me, that's number 1. Just saying. Number 6, The Good Place. Fantastic. That's definitely in the top 10 for me. Number 5, Pose from Ryan Murphy. Did not watch that. I heard it was great. May watch that. I think it may be on Netflix, actually. Let's see. What is Pose on? That was kind of interesting. But it is not on, it's not streaming on anything right now. You can only buy it. Probably on the FX app. It was only 8 episodes. Interesting. A dance musical that explores the juxtaposition of several segments of 1980s life and society in New York. The ball culture world, the rise of luxury Trump-era universe, and the downtown social and literary scene. That's the description. I dig it. Ryan Murphy, that guy is great. But then sometimes he's terrible. That's what you get. Number 4, The Americans. Yes, this is higher for me. Number 3, Barry. Now, Barry is an interesting show. I really enjoyed this show. I thought it was a lot of fun, okay? You take a concept of a guy who is an Army vet, sniper, Bill Hader. He becomes a kind of killer for hire. Not kind of, he is. He becomes a killer for hire, mercenary, then a killer for hire. And then he wants to become an actor. He has kind of no personality, and he joins this acting ensemble. And, you know, it's Bill Hader, so it's funny, it's weird. I really enjoyed it. And you know what? It really worked. But I didn't think it was great. I don't know why. Maybe I need to rewatch it. Because I felt like about 50% of it was just fantastic. And then I felt about 50% of it was exactly what you thought it was going to be. But maybe I have a feeling when this many people say that, and it's not just all the critics, but I've heard this from people that I trust too, that really enjoyed this, I might have to rewatch that. But Barry was definitely, I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was, and I think a lot of people were surprised. When they said Bill Hader is going to do a show where he's a hitman who wants to become an actor, everyone thought, meh, 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 you know, this is going to be dumb. Come on, HBO, you're just throwing money at him. And then it turned out to be really great. But is it real? I'd say really great, but I guess it turned out to be really great. It's number 3. Number 2, Killing Eve. Absolutely loved it. Don't know if it's number 2 for me, but I agree. It's amazing. And the number 1, so this is going to be updated and updated and updated, okay? And I should have maybe started off with saying how they did it, but I'll go that at the end. Number 1 is Atlanta. I may agree with that, I can see why people say that, agree with why people would say that. I still think Better Call Saul is a superior show, but they're in the same universe of creativity and just utter emotion. They're just in the zone. They're always in the zone. And I love both of these shows, so I can see that. So this is how they did it. They got 3 points for each first place ranking, 2 points for each second place ranking, 1 point for being ranked 3 to 10 or being included on an unranked list, a half a point for being included on an unranked list of 11 to 12 titles. Okay, so if it's unranked, it's like, here's my top 10. A lot of people don't rank them now. So Atlanta got 5 first places, 1 second place, and other, it got 6.5 points from other, which meaning that it was on a list of like, here's my top 10, Atlanta's one of them. So I like the way that they did this. This is kind of fun. I mean, it doesn't tell you what the best show is, but it's kind of funny to look, not funny, but it's kind of interesting to look at what people think are great shows. The other shows on the list that I didn't mention are Queer Eye on Netflix, The Haunting of Hill House, and The Good Fight. So that's like the top, kind of, I guess, top 20 with, I don't know, maybe it's about the top 13 or 14 or maybe 17 because there's doubles. So I think that that's kind of interesting to see what people think is the top. I don't know. I feel like there's things missing from this. And I was going to do my top 10. I think I'm going to save that for me and Solo usually do that. So maybe we'll do that and we'll make that on the public airwaves. It won't be a film list. He'll just come on for a segment. Maybe DJ Tim Hines will get to send in your top 10 TV shows of the year. I feel like things are missing from that list. Cobra Kai, I see on some other lists. Let's see what else other people have. People have Making It, The Terror, I would definitely have on my list. Let's see, what are some, I'm just trying to look through the list to see ones that pop up on a lot of people's lists. Lodge 49 is popping up, I see. That's good to see. I like it. Let's see, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat on Netflix. I like that. Interesting. A lot, My Brilliant Friend is popping up on a lot of lists. Kidding from Showtime, Counterpart. What do you all think? Let's see. Let's look at Alan Sepinwall. This is from 10 to 1. Pose, Sharp Objects, Barry, Big Mouth on Netflix. He has Better Call Saul at 6. My Brilliant Friend, 5. Killing Eve, 4. BoJack Horseman, 3. The Americans, 2. Atlanta, 1. Alan Sepinwall's the best. I like that list. That's a good list. Big Mouth is kind of funny. I watch a very dirty Netflix kids comedy. I wanted to watch more of it, but every time I put it on, I forget to put it on at night. And Lachlan would walk in and be, what's that? And then the kid would be saying something really nasty. Let's see. Let's get another one over here. Matt Zoller Sites has Sharp Objects 10, Succession, Sorry for Your Loss on Facebook. Wow, okay. Glow, Jesus Christ Superstar on NBC. The Americans, 5, 4 is Homecoming, 3, Better Call Saul, 2, Pose, 1, Atlanta. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. That's kind of cool. Let's check out The Ringer, Allison Herman and Chris Ryan. Queer Eye, number 10. Howard's End on Stars, number 9. Better Call Saul, 8. Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, 7. Barry, 6. The Good Fight, 5. Little Drummer Girl, you know Chris Ryan loves that stuff, 4. Atlanta, 3. Succession, 2. Killing Eve, 1. So Killing Eve, Atlanta really are on a lot of people's best list here. That's a pretty good list. Margaret Lyons has Pose, Cupcake and Dino on Netflix. Lachlan loves that show, by the way. Corporate on Comedy Central. I watched one episode. That was okay. All right. Margaret Lyons has Pose at 10, Cupcake and Dino at 9. Lachlan loves that show. Corporate on Comedy Central. I watched one episode of that. That was okay. Didn't think it was great. She, again, Sorry for Your Loss. That's the second one for Facebook. You on Lifetime. Yes, go. Queer Eye number 5, America to Me on Stars. Interesting. I did watch an episode of that. That was a doc series, I believe. Lodge 49 at 3, Killing Eve at and Barry tied at 1. Interesting. All right. These are cool lists. I like them. I'm going to keep checking these, and maybe we'll just keep on checking up when new people drop their lists. I like these kind of best of lists. It just gives you an opportunity to talk about things. But Hill House, there's other, I'm forgetting. There's so many other series. I'm going to make my list. I'm going to do a top 10 for me, and I'm going to do that before the end of the year. Maybe that'll be like the Christmas episode, my top 10 TV shows of the year. That would be a lot of fun. Let's make that a plan. That's what I'm going to do. On the 25th, I'm dropping my top 10 episodes. It's going to be a fun one. Maybe we'll get other people to send in audio clips. Bill Cava, master of the driving through Jersey traffic audio clip. Send me your top 10 TV shows. Andy, Brett, Gina, Newbie, James, all the folks out there who are listening. I know you. You can hear me. I want to get them. Let's do it. Our Christmas gift to all ourselves and each other and to you. Our top 10 TV shows of the year. I'm going to have some weird ones on there because I think that there was some weird shows. I'm looking at these. I'm like, there's stuff missing from here. All right. I'm going to think about it. Thanks everybody for listening. Great show. I'm going to do a giveaway on Friday. I am going to be giving away a pair of Stormtrooper cufflinks from cufflinks.com. These are super cool. This is the highest priced giveaway we have had so far. These are not cheap, ladies and gents, and they are amazingly cool. I'm going to put a picture of them on Twitter and such. Going to announce on Friday how I'll be giving away, and that giveaway is going to go for like a week. We're going to get some subscriptions, some iTunes stuff. Going to get out there. Come on, people. Do some work for the pod, and you'll get these cufflinks from cufflinks.com/DVR, baby. Thanks for joining me, DVRpodcast.com. Check us out. Check us out on Twitter at DVRpodcast. Join our Facebook group, Daily DVR. Search it. Join it. It's growing. We're having a lot of fun. I put a lot of links on there. I'll put a picture of these cufflinks on there too, people. All right. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Take care. Peace out.